firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
Is God concerned with what we wear? Does he care about the length of our hair? Well, while these may seem like minor issues, for some people, they've caused heated debates and sometimes even divisions in churches. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and we're welcoming you to another great adventure in God's Word. Our teacher is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and we're going to be continuing our study on Christian liberty in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So go ahead and grab your seat on the Bible bus and get comfortable. And while you do, I want to share a couple letters. First, we hear from a listener in Puerto Rico. I gave my heart to the Lord and asked for forgiveness for my sins 12 years ago while listening to your program. Today, you are a part of my daily schedule, and I make the necessary arrangements to be able to listen and study the Bible with you. I'm so grateful to ride along each day with this great group of listeners. Thank you. I love you. God bless you. And then Marisol, she's in Colombia, wrote this. I've only been a Christian for 2 years, but every day I fall more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Before, I never picked up the Bible. I didn't like it. But now, reading the Bible, I feel filled with joy, and your notes and outlines motivate me and really help me to better understand the Word of God. And then here's a note. This is from Luis from San Marcos, Guatemala. I want to greet you and tell you that one day, a while back, I turned on the radio and heard your program. It was a message from the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. Paul talks about pressing on toward the goal, toward the supreme prize called Jesus Christ. I had never heard this before. I'm an athlete, and it was very eye-opening. I now want to make sure I'm competing for the right reasons. I pray that as I listen, I'm able to continue being enriched by the word of the Lord. Thank you very much, and a big hug. And then our last letter is from Letty in Idaho. I just want to thank you for your beautiful program. Through your broadcasts, I've learned about Jesus and accepted him as my Savior. I had never opened the Bible, and now I study it along with you. I can't stop reading it, and I feel like the happiest woman on the planet because I have Jesus in my heart. I've shared your link with my family in Mexico. I'm hoping they will also receive Jesus into their hearts. Thank you very, very much for everything. My offering is not much, but I give it with all my heart. Well, thanks, Letty, for your support. You know, Through the Bible is completely listener-supported, so if you'd like to join Letty and other generous listeners as they support the Bible bus in your community, and as we travel the world teaching God's Word in more than 120 languages and dialects, then visit us at ttb.org/give, or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And if our time in God's Word is changing and challenging you, would you share that information with us? You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org and tell us what you're learning, or you can mail your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today. Instruct us in your Word so that we can focus on what's important, pleasing you and living for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come back today to this 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we saw last time that Paul is saying here that he's put down a principle that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. Now, if a man has been mastered by the Lord Jesus Christ and he is his head, and the woman, the wife, sees in that man one that loves her, then she will just normally and naturally make him the head of her life and her home, of course. Now, Christ voluntarily submitted himself to the Father and took a place for our redemption, and the head of Christ is God. Now, that's the reason we have these tremendous statements made here. Now, in Corinth, the woman was taking a different position altogether. They had the woman's liberation movement going in Corinth years ago, only was going apparently in the wrong direction. Now, we find here that Paul is saying in verse 5, and let me read it. Probably I should read verse 4 again. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. A man should not have his head covered, Paul is saying here when he is speaking for God. Praying means he's speaking for man to God, making intercession. Prophesying here means he's speaking for God to man. Now, he goes on to say in verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she was shaven. Now, from that great principle, Paul draws this statement here. A man should have his head uncovered, and the woman should have her head covered. And he goes on to say, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now, this has direct application to Corinth, and there are probably two things that we ought to say at this particular junction. Somebody is saying, you do not mean to say that God is giving instruction regarding trivialities like a woman's dress. Certainly, God cannot be concerned with what a woman wears and whether a man gets a haircut and has his head uncovered. Well, the facts are that the Bible makes it clear that God is interested in what you wear and how you fix your hair. He says even the hairs of your head are numbered. And this idea that only your hairdresser knows, God knows, my friend. And he had a great deal to say about these and related subjects. The very details of your lives come in under his inspection. You don't shut him out when you take a bath. The most intimate details of our lives are an open book to him. And can you name anything today, though, that takes up more space in newspapers, magazines, time on radio, and TV than what men and women wear? Men's hair affords a lively discussion today. Now let's see what the Word of God has to say. And we need to understand that these are questions that came from the church under in Corinth to Paul. And Paul's going to answer them. Now, he says, first of all, a man's not to have his head covered, but a woman should have hers covered. Now, before we get into that, may I say this? He is saying here, but every woman that prayeth and prophesy, that means that a woman can pray in public, and it means she can speak in public. This idea today that the Bible just said that a woman could not do these things is entirely wrong. It is true there's never been a woman theologian. There's never been a great woman preacher. Now, somebody's going to disagree with me on that, but that's all right. The woman has the right if she has the gift. And by the way, some have it. I know several women today, right today, that are outstanding Bible teachers, and they can out-teach any man. A preacher told me this very candidly. He says, my wife is a much better Bible teacher than I am. And the member of the congregation, in fact, an officer in the church, said, we'd rather hear her speak any time than hear him speak. She has the gift. I'm not sure. In that case, maybe he ought to stay home and wash the dishes and let her do the preaching. But I don't mean to interfere in that family at all. Now, will you notice, he goes on to say here that she has her head uncovered, she dishonoreth her head. Now, we need to recognize that there was something that gave this a local application. Now, will you let me read the next verse? For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Why? Well, it had a peculiar and particular application to Corinth. The unveiled woman in Corinth was a prostitute, and many of them were shaven. Up yonder at the temple of Aphrodite, there were 1,000 vestal virgins, so-called, but they were prostitutes. Heads were shaven. And the woman that came with her head uncovered, they were prostitutes. And the women in Corinth said, all things are lawful for me, therefore we don't need to cover our head. And this veil is the mark of subjection. It's a mark of subjection, not to a man, but to God, when you go into the church with your hat on or wearing a hat. Now, I think that was the application to Corinth. And after all, isn't a hat a morale builder for a woman today? The wife said to her husband, said, every time I get down in the dumps, says, I go buy me a new hat. And he said, well, I've been wondering where you got those hats. May I say to you, a hat's a morale builder for a woman. But the dress has to do with the ministry. If she is to lead, she ought to have her head covered. Now, if she's not, there's nothing wrong with her going in with that at all. In fact, there are several other passages, and I'll have to bring them up at this time. For instance, over in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 8 through 10, Paul says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner, he says, I will, therefore, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold, or pearls, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, what Paul is saying here is simply this, that if she is to lift up holy hands in the service, in leading, why, she is not to come adorning herself in this way. Why? Well, very candidly, the woman is not to use sex appeal in approaching God. That's it exactly, my friend. God says that she's not to use that at all. And she will never actually win her husband by that. Notice what Peter said in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, will you notice what he says down in verse 4? He says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, that is spiritual knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as under the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And many a family today have their prayers hindered because the husband and wife are not getting along as they should and not using the proper approach. God is saying to the wife there in 1 Peter, you can't win your husband to Christ by sex appeal. Not that she's not to use it, but you'll never win anyone like that. Jezebel tried it, didn't work. Queen Esther tried it, didn't work. Salome tried it and didn't work. But those that really stand out in Scripture as being marvelous, wonderful, godly women that God used, Sarah, Deborah, Hannah, Abigail, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. These are things that we have mentioned here. Now, will you notice as we move on down in this particular section here, he says in verse 7, now he's talking about this principle that he's given back up here as it applies to the man. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he's the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And that's a very important thing to keep in consideration. I'm not concerned about this women's liberation movement today at all. I believe that a woman's place is to be a helpmeet to the man and the other part of him. And no man is complete without a woman. There's no question about that. Now, the exceptions to that, of course. We'll have occasion to go into that later in other passages. Verse 10, for this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels. And there is something, again, a reference to angels that I don't understand. But I'm of the opinion that we are being observed today by God's created intelligences And if you today knew that you're actually out on a stage in this little world, and all of God's created intelligences are watching today, well, they're finding out about the love of God, because they know we're not worthy of the love of God. God would have done well probably to have gotten rid of us, to have removed us from His creation, but He didn't. He loved us. And that display of His love is in His grace to save us. Now we see here, he goes on to say, verse 11, "Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord." And this is the power of the woman. Hold her man because she's a woman. And the man hold his woman because he's a man. That is the marriage relationship, my friend. And when that doesn't exist, why, believe me, you don't have that which is God's ideal for any moment. Now will you notice, verse 12, "For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things are of God." You see, they're inseparable. No man is a sphere, he's a hemisphere. No woman is a sphere, this woman's liberation today. It's nonsense for either man or woman to talk about liberation. The man needs the woman needs the man. And that is the thing that is important. Liberty, my friend, the liberty is a glorious relationship in marriage today. That is the thing that is all important. Now will you notice here, he said, "Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered?" And I personally feel like that no woman ought to call attention to herself when she's in public, that is, speaking for the Lord or teaching a Bible class, that sort of thing. It should be no appeal to sex, which is tremendous. Her appeal there is a tremendous thing. She has the power to either lift a man up or drag him down. Now, verse 14, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him?" Now, there is a verse needs a little comment, and will I get the letters now. I think all of this long hair today is a result of one thing, and it's the result of the fact that man has not found his sufficiency in God. He's a frustrated individual, and that today multitudes, without seeing a great purpose in life for God, go out with your hair cut and look up to heaven to your Maker. But today to let that stuff grow down around you till you can't even recognize an individual, may I say to you, it's a movement toward the animal world without purpose in life at all. Now, well, I hear from that, but that's all right. I won't mind that at all. I'm accustomed to that. But here's a verse I'd like to put it up in public places all over this land today. "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him?" Now, there was a Nazarite vow back in the Old Testament. We've seen that men took, and they did it dedicated to God. One of the things, they were not to cut their hair, and that meant that they were willing to bear shame for God's sake. And actually, Samson was not a strong individual physically. He was a little dried up, weaselly, little old man. He was a Mr. Milquetoast. Very feminine, by the way. His mama's boy, tied to his apron string, ran home when he saw a pretty girl and told his mama to get her for him. May I say to you, he had long hair. And it was because he was a Nazarite. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. And believe me, it may please those around you, but the angels today are ashamed of you. May I say that this is something that is a mark of a decadent age. Now, there's something else, though. We ought not to stop with that. And let me move on. "But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Now, let me say this. Why, today, we have liberty in Christ. Now, my brother, if you want to grow long hair, you grow long hair. There's some men, they are not able to grow long hair. Several of my friends are coming out on top today, I'll tell you. Today, our moral values have been turned upside down, and there's a danger of being an extremist and going in either direction. There is a rebellion today against Puritan theology, and there is a danger, therefore, of moving in an extreme direction. It's like the lady who went to the psychiatrist, and her family had urged her to go, and so the psychiatrist asked her, says, what really seems to be your trouble? Well, she says, they think it's strange that I like pancakes. Oh, he says, well, there's nothing wrong in liking pancakes. Well, he says, you know, I like pancakes. She says, you do? Well, he says, well, come over sometime. I've got trunks filled with them. My friend, you can be an extremist, you see, in that which is a normal thing. You can let your hair grow too long if you're a man. Now, for a woman, it is her glory. But now Paul says that it's not really the haircut, and it's not the style of the dress after all. He says here, we have no such custom, neither in the churches of God. And I don't think the church ought to make rules in this connection at all about women's dress or men's hair today. It's the inner man. It's that old nature that really needs a haircut. And all of us need the robe of righteousness. And my friend, if we're clothed with the robe of righteousness, and this old nature of ours is under control of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is giving it a haircut, then may I say to you that I think that will take care of the outer man, and it wouldn't really make any difference about the dress. Paul says we really have no rule. Paul just telling you what he thinks and what would be best. After all, in Christian liberty, we are to think of others. And what is your testimony to others? Now, we come down to another section, and I'm saving it for next time purposely, because we go from one actual extreme here to the other, women's dress and men's hair, and we take up now the Lord's Supper next time. And this, my friend, is a very important and probably it is the most sacred, holy part of our relationship to God today. I'm confident that this is something, the Lord's Supper, that's greatly misunderstood in our churches, and that as a result, why, it's almost blaspheming the way that it's observed in some places. And Paul is going to say here that God judges you in the way that you observe the Lord's Supper, and that among the Corinthians, actually, there were some that were sick and some had died. Why? Well, but simply because of the way that they observed the Lord's Supper. They did not discern the body of Christ. I wonder if we do today. The thing that most of us observe is a method that is used. We note every detail of the ritual. But do we really discern the body of Christ in the Lord's Supper? They've asked questions about this, and Paul has heard certain things that were taking place in Corinth. So until next time, friends, may God richly bless you.
Well, that's a great introduction for tomorrow's study. I hope that you'll hop aboard the Bible bus and join us for a very special message by Dr. McGee. Until then, if you'd like to listen to some of our previous studies in 1 Corinthians or share them with a friend, visit us at ttb.org/listen, where you can listen or download for free. And while you're visiting us at ttb.org, be sure to check out a few of our resources, including the Solar Bible Bus Player and our Bible Bus Flash Drive. Each one contains our entire 5-year study and has some really cool features, so be sure to check them out. Or if you'd like a little help in selecting a particular Bible study resource, then just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you call, please be sure to mention how you listened to Through the Bible. Just give us the name of your radio station, or tell us if you listen online or through an app or on YouTube or one of the many other ways that Dr. McGee's teaching is available. As always, this little bit of information is a big help to us as we seek to be good stewards of the resources that God has faithfully given to us through your support. Now, in just a few short weeks, too, to be specific, the Bible Bus will come to the end of our journey through 1 Corinthians, and we'll turn back to the Old Testament book of Ezra and Nehemiah. So if you don't already have your notes and outlines for our next study, you can download them at ttb.org/notes. Or if you'd like to download all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for the 5-year study, they're available in one resource, and it's new for us. It's called Briefing the Bible. You can download yours or request one to be sent to you at ttb.org/briefing the Bible. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find what you need. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be looking forward to being with you tomorrow as we continue to make our way through the Bible.
All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.